Welcome to another edition of the 4th and 1 podcast. Nick Jacobs, it's AFC Championship Week. Are you excited, sir?
I'm excited who we have on the phone line, so that's who we really need to talk
about. Okay, you've totally ruined it. I was going to get to that.
No, that's what I'm excited about.
Okay, so you don't care about the game, to be clear. You don't care about the game.
That's a second.
All right, well, we do have a man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Richard Baldinger on the phone. Baldy, hey man, what is up, buddy? How are you?
I'm not sure. The myth, I gave you might want to just stop right there. And then you hit that $1 million lottery ticket we were talking about.
in that case, I'm signing off. It was my last day on the podcast, now that I'm a millionaire.
Oh, it was a pleasure, Todd.
Baldy, I mean, as a former player, I mean, what can you tell me what it's like the week building up to the playoffs? Because you have 16 of these in the regular season. There's got to be an element of fatigue, routine that sets in. How much different is it for a playoff game? What's it like for these guys in the locker room right now?
Well, it just seems like all the tough times that we've gone through in the past with the Chiefs organization, it just seems like it hasn't existed. It's like here, right now, is the AFC Championship. And to tell you the truth, guys, I haven't slept in a week. I'm ready to go. I think I can make it through warm-ups in this one. But it's so exciting to me. I'm so happy for these guys, for everything that they've gone through, and Andy Reid, and just the whole organization. I mean, it's beyond belief that they're this close to going to the big game, to the Super Bowl. And I don't know. The emotions are... I'm rambling. I don't need any more coffee. Let's put it that way.
Well, I mean, look, it's been 49 years since the Chiefs have gone to a Super Bowl, and here they are, one win against the Evil Empire, New England Patriots, Tom Brady at 5:40 on Sunday at Arrowhead, away from doing that. Here's a real cool thing. I mean, most people, if you've been to a game, you know they have somebody come out and bang that drum before the game. This week, it's going to be Clark Hunt as they prepare to play for a trophy that has his dad's name on it. You know, it's the champion of the AFC gets the Lamar Hunt Trophy. Nick, is that the right call?
I figured it was either going to be him / the Hunt family together, or that it was going to be Lynn Dawson.
Yeah.
I figured Lynn Dawson was going to be it. So when I saw that yesterday in the press release, I was like, oh, okay, well, it makes sense. I mean, this is a massive moment for him to be in a situation and to potentially get this trophy and maybe go to the Super Bowl. And I know what it means to him to kind of be... being in the shadow of his dad in a way that he has, to where your dad helped create the NFL and helped create the name of the Super Bowl and all that combined, like that's a lot of pressure. So for him
and the MLS and a million other things,
And I mean, when you come from a family like that, I mean that's a ton of pressure, and you want to live up to it. And I really hope he has that moment to hold the trophy on Sunday.
And Baldy, you probably know him better than Nick and I do. Obviously, I mean, what do you think this moment means for Clark to have the franchise at this point, you know, and everything that family's put into the Chiefs through the years?
Well, I think it's what Nick hit it right on when he talked about, you know, Lamar Hunt and the founding of the AFC, or the AFL, excuse me, and everything about it, and bringing this team to Kansas City. And for me personally, it was Lamar Hunt who gave me a job. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm indebted to him forever. But for the Hunt family, everything that they've meant to the National Football League, everything they've meant for the players that have been here for maybe 1 year or for their whole career, they've offered so much. And I just, living in the shadow of his father and what he meant to this league, I think it's just a continuation of that dream. And for Clark, it's everything that you work for, right? To be able to stand on that podium and hold up that trophy. I just couldn't imagine the emotion that's going through him right now.
Well, the Chiefs have never been in this position, because the Super Bowl they won was the last one before the merger. So there wasn't an AFC championship game per se back then. They were still the AFL champion, then played the NFL champion. And then they renamed the award in 1984 after Lamar Hunt. They've only played for it one time, lost that game in Buffalo in January 94 with Joe Montana. So this is an opportunity that comes along very often. So I'd expect to see an emotional Clark Hunt. And he's not a guy we see a lot of emotion from. But Nick, you touched on it last week in the locker room after they ended that quarter century drought of home playoff wins. You could sense a little bit of an edge to Clark. I think it's going to be really cool to see the emotion that he brings to this. And look, I think there aren't many owners in the league that I think, you know, I mean, I think there are guys like Dan Snyder, Jerry Jones that teams kind of feed off of or take the lead from in a sense. And Clark's never been that guy. He's always been a guy who was comfortable to kind of know his role, so to speak, let his coaches shine, let his players shine. I think the players, when they see Clark down there beating that drum, I think there's going to be, they're going to get the feelings too. I think it's going to be a moment for everybody on that sideline.
Yeah, and this is just me making an assumption, but I think Andy and Brett Veach and the whole organization has reminded all these players, and Eric Berry touched on it on the Friday press conference, what it means, because like Baldy said, I mean, Clark's dad gave people a lot of opportunities in this league, get jobs and support their family and help make it to what it is today. So, I mean, Clark's an extension of that. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's going to be massive emotion for everybody involved and for the Hunt family to feel like they're honoring their dad in the best way possible, or husband for Norma.
Yeah. I mean,
for Clark Hunt, just to chime in at the end, guys, for Clark Hunt, here's a guy who had his Goldman Sachs background, business, numbers guy, you know, detailed oriented. How is he going to handle that emotion? Because the Chiefs come away with victory in this game. That's going to be the sight to see. How does Clark handle this? Because for him and for his background and for what I know of him and as a hard worker that he is and how he puts everything in the right compartments and how he looks and views everything, it's that monetary background, that business sense. And so it's going to be interesting to see how he handles that moment.
Yeah, no, I think there's potential to see a different side of Clark than we've ever seen publicly if he gets to put his hands on that trophy this weekend. Obviously, look, guys, to do that, the team's got to play well. And one of the themes this week that's emerged with Patrick Holmes, and look, he's talked about it a lot at different times, but the national media's kind of picked up the narrative, talking about unscouted looks. Let's break this down real quick. I want to be sure that we're all on the same page because, we might have some viewers who don't know what that means. So Baldy, when he talks about unscouted looks, what he's really talking about is when you look at game film, you know, you study, you break it down, but the Patriots are one of the best teams in the league at showing you things during a game that you haven't been able to scout, haven't been able to break down on film, right?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, when you play a Bill Belichick New England Patriot team, it always comes back to the same old line. You have to play better than what you're coached because you're going to experience things and see things on the field, whether it's a shade look, a guy in a gap, a blitz this way, a delayed gap charge. Something different is going to happen, and you have to be able to adjust. You have to be a football coach and a player at the same time on the field. That's what Bill Belichick has been done so good, and he's got people in the wrong position. So I look for some creative ideas out there in the field that we've never seen before from the New England Patriots.
And we saw it in week one. I mean, he caught Mahomes a couple of times, didn't he, Nick?
Yeah, in their week six matchup, the first one with Hightower when he made the first interception, the way he looked like he was going to pressure, but he was actually shuffling and reading Kareem Hunt the back to see if he had the ball. And once he didn't, he dropped back into the zone off that run pass option. And then the second time, whenever he had the other interception that kept him from getting a field goal, they actually had it to where Hightower did a chip and jammed Kelsey and waited till the safety and corner got there in position for their double team. And then Hill was getting double teamed as well in the red zone. So they needed somebody to step up at that point. And unfortunately on that play, Mahomes got the opportunity where he had to learn that he can't force some plays. And that was a huge lesson for him in a massive game. And I'm glad he had those in week six, because if he doesn't have those in the AFC Championship game, that could go a long way to deciding if they get to hand that trophy to Clark.
Yeah, and hey, Baldy, I'm sure you went back and watched that game again. You know, I think a lot of people felt like Patrick Mahomes really struggled in the first half against the Patriots. When you went back and watched, did he struggle as much as you thought, or was it more, or was there something else that emerged in your mind when you watched that game a second time?
Well, watching the second time, I'm so impressed how he improved from the first half to the second half. But now he knows that it's going to take four quarters of solid football to beat the New England Patriots. And I still seen the play where he had a Kareem Hunt wide open in the back of the end zone, and he overthrew him in the first half. And, you know, one touchdown is the difference, and you win the football game. So even with the struggles they had, they kicked field goals in the first half. They came out second half, be able to do things and score touchdowns. It's a consistency in the play. And I just think that his knowledge now, and especially with what the demand that's on him now, with some of the things that have happened to this team vis-a-vis the loss of Kareem Hunt and things, he's had to play a better game and be better with distributing that football, because you just can't afford those mistakes, especially when you play a team like the Patriots.
And Nick, I mean, obviously, one of the big themes in that game, they were down, for those who don't remember, the Chiefs trailed 24-9 at halftime. One of the big themes was the inability to finish those drives, you know, and I mean, when you go back and watch, was it something Patrick was doing, or do you just give credit to Belichick for getting him off rhythm in that first half in the week six game?
It's a combination of the two. I think Patrick was amped up in that game, and like Baldy said, he missed the Hunt throw, and then also, I believe on the same drive or another drive later, he missed Tyreek Hill on the when they had cover zero and they didn't have they were looking like they're going to blitz six, and they had Tyreek on a diagonal vertical route, and he just overthrew him a little bit, and then he also overthrew Kelce on one as well that would have converted the first down. They had to settle for field goals. So that part of it, they were giving him the looks, and he got a little amped up from it, but at the same time, he was just amped up from that game. So like I said, I think the experience of going through that, and for this team to know that, hey, he can bounce back if he has a problem or two, I think that goes a long way for Sunday.
Okay, the other narrative, sorry, storyline, Nick. Sorry,
That's right. It's storyline, not narrative.
The other storyline this one is always comical to me, though. It's the fact that the Patriots are underdogs. I mean, they've won, what, 5 Super Bowls? They've been to 8 in the last, you know, couple decades with Brady and Belichick leading the way. You know, I mean, they're no strangers to the AFC Championship game, you know, and they beat the Chiefs in the regular season already, but somehow they're trying to capitalize on this. Let's hear from Tom Brady, who started it all off by talking about how terrible this team is after they beat the Chargers, and what has he walked back this underdog remark at all?
He hasn't, and Edelman also talked as well on it.
All right, well, let's hear it.
Who started the whole problem?
I don't think about it too much. You know, what people might say or think, but we're playing against a very good football team. And, you know, they're the first seed for a reason. They've had a great season. And, you know, we're going to have to go into a really tough environment and play our best football. So it should be it's a great opportunity for us. And hopefully we can take advantage of it.
Julian, you put out a shirt that said they're against us.
I'm not taking questions about that.
Do you embrace the underdog role that you guys are going for right now?
I'm just worried about Kansas City.
Julian, given all the success this organization has had, is there a genuine feeling of disrespect in the room?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't look into stuff like that. You know, we're just worried about Kansas City and doing everything I can to prepare myself mentally, physically, and emotionally to go out and play my best game. So, I don't know. I'm sorry.
All right, Baldy. That was Tom Brady and Julian Edelman. And I think they did walk it back. They certainly didn't double down on the underdog comments. So what's the feeling? Was this a straight cash grab that they set up to try to sell these T-shirts, or did Belichick get in their ear and say, hey, knock it off, let's just talk football?
Well, I suspect that Belichick probably did maybe speak to him a little bit, because he knows the type of environment he's going into. And you're playing against one of the hottest quarterbacks in the National Football League, or one of the best quarterbacks right now, who's learned a lot. And maybe he's now understanding that he doesn't have to do so much, and maybe he's not going to be as amped up as much here, and he's going to be better with football and not making mistakes. So I suspect that Belichick talked to him. But listen, this is Tom Brady. He's won so many championships, I can't even count that high. I mean, so it's an amazing career that he's had. He's going to come to play. He can bring in all these other nuances about supposedly being the underdog or not respected or whatever. That's fine, Tom. When the balloons go up, we'll be ready to play football.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't think anybody in the Chiefs locker room, nobody that's going to take the field, is buying that somehow the Patriots are diminished or the underdog, are they?
Here's my thing that irritated me. Whenever Edelman's talking about – He goes on social media, posts those things, stirs everything up. Brady went on national TV, said that right after the game, and now they're we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to address it anymore. You're the one that started it, so like I mean, you better address it. You better say something about it. So the fact they didn't do that, and Edelman he didn't look comfortable in his press conference. He wasn't his normal self in the press conferences I've seen in the past. So I think they're putting on a confident front, but man, I see some tense faces whenever I'm watching those press conferences and some of their nonverbal cues. They're uneasy about coming here to Arrowhead.
Well, all right. By contrast, let's hear from Andy Reid about how the Chiefs are handling this week.
You know, it's football when you come down to it, and I understand the magnitude of it, significance of it. I understand all that, and I respect that. But again, we got to get ourselves ready to play. That's the reality of it. We don't get caught up in all of this, and it's our responsibility and jobs to do that. So that's how we go about it. But it's very similar.
Baldy, can it possibly be business as usual for the Chiefs in an AFC Championship game when they've never been here before?
It is in one respect that, Andy, is true. You do have to get ready because it's a Belichick football team, and you have to expect the unexpected in this for a lack of – well, I guess that's the best cliche I can come up with. So in that sense, yes, it is. But on the other side, this is the fight for the Kansas City Chiefs, is handling the emotions. I couldn't imagine being in this game right now, what it means. The pressure that's especially on Patrick Mahomes. This whole city, the whole NFL world is looking at this kid, expecting him to lead the Chiefs to victory. So there is the emotional side of this, and it's going to be tough. And I suspect that Andy has talked to the players that keep it in check. You've got to keep your focus, because in a game like this, it can get out of control quickly. And you don't want that to happen against a Belichick team that once they get control everything about the game, it could be a long afternoon.
So who do you think is going to be talking to Patrick? Who's going to be calling him? Is that on Reed and Bieniemy and Kafka to make sure that he's okay? Or, you know, are there some defensive guys? Is there somebody else that you think can help make sure that everything's copacetic?
I would say based on the three names you mentioned, I think those are kind of the ones that he turns to help give him an even keel. And with Andy sitting on the sidelines with him on a regular basis there on the bench, I think that Andy and Kafka, I think between the two of them, they handle it. And Bieniemy, if he needed to, he could. But they're all three capable of kind of helping keep him an even keel.
All right, guys, don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more on 4th and 1.
Wake up with questions, especially this time of year. Snow or no snow? So, what's the best way to get to work? 41 Action News today. Instant traffic updates and KC's most accurate forecast. What you need to start your morning. Weekdays from 4:30 to 7.
Cutting the cable cord? 41 Action News is now on Roku. Search KSHB. Add our channel and you're set. All of our newscasts stream live. No other station in Kansas City can say that. Get clear, complete coverage on 41 Action News now on Roku.
In a city where anything can happen, you deserve the truth. We don't just report the stories. We find the stories. Never backing down. Never shutting down. Getting the answers you deserve. This is our promise to you. Every day. Every night.
Stand by. 3, 2, 1.
41 Action News at 10. Clear, complete coverage.
Welcome back to the 4th and 1 podcast, AFC Championship Game Edition. Guys, we hope you enjoyed the bonus edition earlier this week. You can find Nick Jacobs' game plan at kshb.com/Chiefs. I wrote something about the Hunt family trying to get a trophy with, you know, Lamar's name on it, stuff like that. But there's lots of great content out there. We've got lots of great videos. Hope you guys checked out some of the Chiefs specials, and we'll tune in for the 5 o'clock news and check out our preview stuff before you flip over for the game on Sunday. Got to talk about the opponent, obviously, a little bit here. And this is the 8th straight game for the New England Patriots. And I do want to recognize how special. I think that's incredible that in the modern NFL, where it's basically structured for parity, where the way contracts are and the decisions you have to make on a business side, just make it so difficult for sustained excellence, I think. For the Patriots to have been in an AFC championship game 8 straight years is a phenomenal accomplishment. But when you look at year over year, Baldy, does experience matter in this game, you know, or is that a little bit overstated?
No, experience does count in this game, without a doubt, because you're going to deal with the pressure of not only the game, but each individual moment as the game goes on. No matter what happens, you're always going to be able to stay even keel. And for a lot of people, when emotion gets involved with it, you know, sometimes panic can get involved with it. You get overamped up. You start thinking about things, and it takes you away from the game. So experience is 100% helpful. And that's why, to me, you have guys like Eric Berry coming back to play. You need somebody like him who keeps a focus, who understands the game, looking at it as a big chess match, knowing where people have to be on the field. Experience is overwhelming important in this game, and that's why the Patriots right now, for what they've done in the past, it just gives them that much more of an advantage in the game.
And speaking of Eric Berry, he addressed the media one of the few times he's done it this year, but let's hear from Eric Berry on what it means to be playing for an AFC championship in Arrowhead, because he's going to suit up this week. We know that.
I mean, just look at the history behind the trophy. You know, look at the organization that we're playing for. I mean, that's great. You know, just to be in this position and have that opportunity. So you don't get these opportunities often. You know, this is my ninth year in the league, and this is my first shot at it. And, you know, I'm going to cherish every moment.
And, Nick, we've talked about Eric Berry and his importance. And look, I know the Chiefs are 0-2 in the two games he actually played, the Chargers and the Seahawks game. But, look, they activated Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. I butchered that. I'm sorry. My French Canadian is not very good. I apologize. We'll just call him LDT. I'm sorry, Larry. They obviously activated him. They cut Ron Parker. When they did that, you had to know Eric Berry's playing in this one, right?
I didn't assume that because I didn't know what was going to happen with Dorian O'Daniel and if they would need that additional safety back. So I was. We'll see how things shake out in that regard. I do feel kind of bad for Ron Parker if they do not bring him back in the next couple of weeks. He was kind of one of the people that they brought in to kind of help the ship stay, you know, afloat there for a while. And AFC Championship game, hey, we don't need you anymore. I would have at least pretended he stubbed a toe or something so he could at least be a part of it.
Yeah.
But this way, if they need to bring him back, hypothetically, if they do play in the Super Bowl, then they have their opportunity. So, yeah. We'll see what Berry does. I mean, he's at least going to bring some energy for him and that aspect, and hopefully he can help them in run support where I think they're really going to need him.
One thing we've talked about all year is the importance of the Chiefs getting off to good starts because of what it does for the defense. More than just, I mean, obviously you want the offense to get, you know, get going early and to sustain that excellence. But the offense, you know, when you look at the Patriots game, things like that, they've been able to find their legs and still put up massive amounts of points in different games. But especially, we talked about it, especially going to like the Colts game, for instance, getting a lead allows, you know, other teams tend to panic and it allows the Chiefs to play to their strength, which is that pass rush. And the Colts played right into that. They got down, you know, 14-0, 17-0, and totally abandoned the run, completely panicked, and it played right into the Chiefs' hands. Given the experience that we talked about earlier, Baldy, what are the chances that the Pats panic if the Chiefs get a big lead, or is this the kind of, you feel like, you know, Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick, Tom Brady will keep a cool head and keep pounding the Chiefs with that power run game no matter what the score is?
Let's see, the Patriots panicking is maybe Baldy getting an A+ on a math test in high school.
It's absolutely happening. Oh, okay.
it's not happening. Yes, and I think if you look at that San Diego game that they had in their divisional round, it was a statement game. The Patriots wanted the league to know that if you want to match up physical, if you believe that the way you're going to beat us is a smash-mouth football game, well, this is our recipe for defeating you. And you turn that film on, and it was power football. Those guys up front were doing one heck of a job. And I think this was a telltale sign to Andy Reid that, that's fine, we're not backing down. We're not going to pull Frank Reich and on 3rd and 2 decide to try to air it out. We're going to go ahead and we're going to make this game physical. So it's going to be a challenge on both sides in the trenches, and I look for a great game, and that's where the Chiefs have got to win this game.
Nick, when you look at, I know you've studied game film all week, when you look at the Week 6 matchup, and then you look at what the Patriots did last week, what do you see as differences in the run game, their commitment to the run game, or maybe just the run game's effectiveness, especially considering that that's kind of the Chiefs' weakness on defense?
In all honesty, I mean, part of it, and I think Baldy touched on it, is that they got to watch the Chiefs-Colts game the day before if they wanted to. So, and like Buddy said, I think they were trying to send part of a message to the Chiefs that, hey, here's what's coming for you next week, because I think they knew they had a good game plan to take down the Chargers and knew the Chargers wouldn't adjust in time before they overwhelmed them. So in that aspect, I think that they wanted to send that message to the Chiefs that you're in for a physical week, like Baldy was saying. Other part of it is they don't have Josh Gordon anymore, and they necessarily offensively, I don't see him as explosive as they have been in prior seasons. So I think their run game is what they have to do in that regard to keep this offense on pace, to limit Brady from any potential hits he may take, the amount of times he throws. And then with Gronk being a better blocker right now than he probably is route runner, just physically.
Certainly not the explosive threat he's been in years past.
No, not. I mean, he looked a little bit fresher this past week, but over the course of the season, he's really not that explosive anymore. That's been over with a majority of the season. So I think that like Baldy said, I think they're going to run the ball, and I think they're going to stay very committed to it, and I think they're okay with that, and I think they want to limit the Chiefs' possessions on offense, and they're fine with it being 17-14 or 20-17 or 24-21. They don't care as long as they win and go to the Super Bowl again. That's all that matters to them.
You mentioned Gronk. He's still, I think he's every bit the devastating blocker he's been in years past. Let's hear from Tom Brady and Mr. Rob Gronkowski about the Patriots and the playoffs.
It's a tough game. It's a tough challenge. It's tough to beat the number one seed on the road. I mean, that's the reality. It's just like we're tough to beat at home when we're the number one seed. It takes a lot. It takes a lot of good football. You know, takes a great complimentary game. All three phases have to be on point. We're going against a team that score a lot of points. They lead the league in sacks, strip sacks. You know, it's a good group. And I think everybody at every position has to play well. That's what championship games are all about. These aren't just handed you on a silver platter and, you know, here you go, here's your trip to the Super Bowl. It's, you got to go fight them out. We've been in a lot of games that come down right to the end.
It's the playoffs. It's one and done. I mean, you know, during the regular season and all, you got another game in that, but this is one and done. Every single play counts. Any play at any given time can boost your team into the next round. And, you know, you see that happen throughout the playoffs too. I mean, you see it happen many different times throughout the playoffs, throughout the years, that it doesn't happen during the regular season, like one little play there, one block there. So you got to be on top of your toes and bring it at all times.
All right, that was Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski talking about the playoffs. And I wanted to highlight a couple things. I think there are a couple key players that I wanted to – I mean, you know, we talked about Rob Gronkowski. Everybody knows about Tom Brady, arguably, maybe not even arguably anymore with his 5 championships, the greatest quarterback of all time. His safety blanket is really still Julian Edelman. So, Baldy, how do you handle Julian Edelman? I mean, they use him in so many different ways. They get him involved so much, even in blocking it, whether it's bringing him across the formation and trying to block the edge or downfield on screens. I mean, how do you handle Julian Edelman on Sunday?
Well, first of all, it's got to be a physical game. You got to get up in his grill and just hammer him. I mean, this guy can create a yard of separation in a phone booth from anybody. He's spectacular, and that's what New England receivers are all about. And that's why you see a lot of guys, even the dominating receivers like a Mike Williams from the San Diego Chargers, would never succeed in a New England Patriot offense, because it's all about running proper routes, separation, and giving the opportunity for Tom Brady to deliver the football. And to me, against Edelman, I'm playing, I don't care about yellow flags. I am going to go hammer this guy. I am going to put him in an ice tub by the end of the first half, because you got to take him off his game. If you don't, if you give him free release, if you give him the chance to run the option routes at any level, rub routes, whatever, it's basically 5 yards and move the chain. It means that's just the way it is. So, if you have to bracket him inside, east, west, north, south, whatever it is, you are going to make sure that he knows he's fighting Mike Tyson in this one, and he's going to be pretty sore at the end of the game.
Is that where, Nick, they're going to miss maybe a guy like a Dorian O'Daniel, who seemed like he would have been tailor-made, you know, for that assignment?
Well, the big problem that the Chiefs are going to have such a problem with Edelman, because I mean, that guy, you can bracket him, you can, like Baldy said, you can jam him at the line, you can do everything. He still just figures out a way to be able to put it all together, and still finds a way to understand where the defense is at in their zones and their man, and he just creates space. That's what, and he's the guy who stirs the drink of the offense. He's the one who makes them go. If Brady didn't have him, they would be at a massive disadvantage right now and have to rely on the run at this point. So Edelman opens up everything for everybody. They use him the way that the Chiefs use Tyreek Hill, motion him all over to see what the defense is doing, see if what they're adjusting to by how he motions. So he's kind of the guy that if you slow him down, Brady's going to hold onto the ball a lot longer.
The other guy I think is kind of gets forgotten a little bit, like every New England Patriots running back during this run, but James White, and I remember we talked before week six that we thought that you know, passes of the running back was going to be something that they tried to exploit. They didn't really do it, but obviously that was a big part of last week's game plan, especially with as deep as San Diego was dropping the Los Angeles Chargers were dropping in that zone. They really killed them with the underneath stuff and the swing routes to James White. How do you handle that, Baldy? If you're going to try to take that away, or do you feel like maybe that's the one thing you're willing to give up and you take away Edelman or something else?
Well, I think that's where it's going to be creativity here for Bob Sutton. I mean, the spotlight's on him. It's the personnel groupings, and that's one of my keys to this league is the type of blitzes and the personnel you use. I wouldn't even be surprised if we don't have seven defensive backs on the field at one time, just so we can match up skill set and physical skill against like a guy like White out of the backfield. The one thing you have to know about all these skilled athletes is they're skilled athletes for the New England Patriots. But on top of that, they're adept at running the proper routes, at getting distance, space, where they need to be on the field. So to me, for Bob Sutton, I wouldn't be surprised in terms of what you see on the field personnel-wise, just so we're in position, we're not a step behind. Because if there's one person that will find that guy in the field, it's Tom Brady. He'll find the guy defensively who's not where they need to be, and he'll put the football in that area. And that's what makes him so great. You know, he sees the whole field and where he needs to go to the football. So, to me, it's going to be matching up people and make sure wherever we can get those matchups, we have the advantage.
All right, let's hear real quick from the Patriots on this matchup, specifically what they expect from the Chiefs.
Against a great football team, Andy, who I have tremendous respect and admiration for, has, as usual, done a great job with his football team. It's a well-balanced team. They've pretty much led from wire to wire in the AFC. Had a great year, great record, outstanding team. Do a lot of things well, obviously. And so that'll be a big challenge for us, and we're looking forward to the opportunity to compete.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, I think we talk about in these games, it's not like a special play or, you know, there's a special formula. It's just, you know, excelling at the right time, you know, and you know, there's no play you can call. This is guaranteed 10 yards here. Or this is a defense that gets up in your face and they try to challenge you and they don't make yards easy. And we're going to have to go dig them out.
Being on the road, being at home, I mean, you got to play your best football no matter what to win the game, if you're at home or if you're away. And we just got to treat it like any other game. Going into the stadium, we know it's going to be loud. We know the atmosphere is going to be hyped. It always is every time we go there, even during the regular season. Just can't imagine what it's going to be like in the playoffs. So got to treat it like any other game, but also you know what type of atmosphere we're going into. We got to be ready. We got to be focused, and we got to be mentally prepared to go into it.
All right, so that was Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and Rob Gronkowski talking about this matchup, and obviously, you know, this isn't their first time playing at Arrowhead. They know what's coming. Part of me actually thinks that Gronkowski would be happier if he could just hang out in the parking lot and get smashed with some of the fans before the game. I mean, it seems like, so I'm going to be really disappointed. Like, somebody should be like offering Gronk beers as the team bus pulls in, because maybe he'll just take it and retire on the spot.
I mean, it's definitely a possibility, man.
All right, hey.
I don't know. It might make him play better, so don't give him any cold ones.
That's true. You're going to see, like, Gronkowski smash a beer can on his helmet and then go get four touchdowns in the first quarter.
That'd be great. I love it already.
All right, guys. We'll be back for the C Block here on 4th and 1.
This is Kansas City. Diverse, proud, tough. And no matter which side of this line you call home, we are there, digging, fighting, asking. Now more than ever, we have your back, shining a light with local stories that impact your life. Local stories you won't see anywhere else. 41 Action News. Clear, complete coverage.
Life can be busy, so we're working around your schedule. 41 Action News, the only station in town with clear, complete coverage at 6:30. And weather from the team certified most accurate. 41 Action News, weeknights at 6:30.
Look around our streets, our communities, our children. Now more than ever, we need the crime, we need the violence to stop. At 41 Action News, we say enough is enough. That's why we're taking action with Safe KC. Not just reporting the problems, but showing solutions with stories of hope, stories with answers. Because violence knows no race, no city, no zip code. Watch Safe KC only on 41 Action News and KSHB.com.
Welcome back to 4th and 1, and welcome to the podcast this week, Mr. Gary Lezak, Chief Meteorologist here at KSHB. Gary, I hear you've been a busy man the last couple of weeks.
I've been very busy. We've had a couple snowstorms. The Chiefs are getting to AFC Championship games and hopefully on their way to the Super Bowl. I haven't heard all of your analysis yet. I can't wait to hear it, but I'm excited about this. The weather is interesting. You can ask me about that. I think that the Chiefs are just going to dominate this game. I know Nick, better predict a victory. That's all I got to say.
Hey, all I can tell you is I predicted against them last week and they won. So yeah. I got to keep my tradition going. Oh, I got to do my part. Okay, right.
Thank you. Right. You're doing well.
It may not be what I believe in my heart, but if that's what it takes for them to win, I'm willing to fall on the sword.
I just want you guys to know that since the Seahawks game, Nick has not changed his underwear. He is that committed to Chiefs victories.
Really? Yeah. Is that what we're doing now?
That's what I heard.
Is Baldy in here?
Yeah.
Well, he's online. Say hi.
Hey, guys. Please, Gary, yes. Please, anything. Smashing beers on somebody's head is a hell of a lot better than thinking about what you just talked about with Nick. I'm just sorry.
Hey, we should all just be grateful he's wearing underwear at all. But
Todd, move on. There's a football game, man.
Oh, boy. Gary, time to change the weather.
I was going
to
say,
Gary. Can we talk about Gronk drinking beers again?
But, Gary, especially early in the week, it seemed like weather was going to dominate this Chiefs game. I mean, there was so much talk about an Arctic blast and whether everyone's fingers were going to fall off if they tried to clap at the game. But the latest forecast is a little bit more forgiving for fans, isn't it?
Not really. You know, this is what's driving Jeff Penner and myself crazy in here because it's going to be maybe 20 degrees for the game. If we're lucky, 22, 23.
That sounds better than -4, though.
Okay, but it was never supposed to be -4. What happened is we had Sunday's forecast, a low of around 0 to -4, and it still might be.
Yeah.
All right, but the high is going to be about 15 to 20 degrees. It's, you know, that is 20 degrees below average. That's a cold day. So everyone's like, oh boy, so much for that forecast. It is still going to be cold out there. But the good news, it will be dry. Okay. So, and when it's 20 or 18 or 15 or 22 for that matter, it favors a 23-year-old gunslinging, incredible quarterback named Patrick Mahomes. I think favorite Patrick there, and everything's in the Chiefs' favor here.
So you think that it'll still be cold enough that Tom Brady's bones will get a little creaky?
Yeah, he's going to be creaky. He's going to be creeped out. He's going to get sacked by Justin Houston. You know, Chris Jones is going to smash right up the middle, get him a couple of times, and the Chiefs just have to watch out for that fast motion offense. I mean, what do you think, New England? If they win the toss, are they taking the ball like they did last week?
I would if they want to quiet the crowd and run the ball down there.
Yeah, quiet the crowd and keep Patrick Mahomes off the field as long as you can. Right. Speaking of which, though, I want to get into one thing that I guess people have talked about Damian Williams a little bit, but I think this is this the first game Baldy, where, because I don't feel like the Chiefs have really missed Kareem Hunt in a lot of games. I mean, obviously, they could have used him, sure, but he's been so effective. I mean, you look at week one, 2017, 17 carries, 148 yards, touchdown, five catches, 98 yards, two touchdowns, dominant, dominant performance. Week six, only had 10 carries for 80 yards, but five catches for another 105 yards, including that 67-yard touchdown early in the third quarter that really kind of kick-started the Chiefs' comeback. Is this a game where Kareem Hunt not being on the team shows up more than maybe it has the last month?
Listen, what Kareem Hunt meant to this football team, I don't know if you'll ever find a running back that will do that. I mean, you talk about the strength and the power, his improvement of catching the football out of the backfield. And when Kareem Hunt ran the football, it changed the identity of this football team. It brought an energy, and it kept drives alive. So the pressure that's on Damian Williams right now, I think, is, again, great because he's trying to fulfill a role that Kareem Hunt gave us in terms of power and speed, that tremendous blend of power and speed and vision and being able to do so many things. And in defense of Damian Williams, I think he's improved in these couple weeks. Last week, his vision, he's really finding the hole well. And I think he's going to be a big part of this offense. I think he's going to be a guy that they're going to want to sustain drives. And if the weather is what they say it is, the pigskin, you know what? Put it in the hands of your best running back. Let's get 4 yards in a cloud of snow.
Hold on.
And continue down the field.
I just realized I still had it paused.
Well, but you're rolling on that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and go.
All right.
We'll splice it together.
All right. My bad. I totally butchered that. Okay. Nick, what about you? I mean, you have faith in Damian Williams?
He'll do his part. I mean, but at the end of the day, Kareem, like Baldy was talking about, Kareem just brought a confidence to him that you saw in like the Monday night game against the Rams, that they felt unstoppable on offense, and that it didn't matter who you had out there. You could have had the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens. It didn't matter. They were going to score on them. They were going to score 35, 40. They just had this invincibility about them. And I think when they lost Kareem, that took away a lot of it, and they've spent the past month and a half trying to find it once again and just try to get back to that level.
And so that's what they just did. They just found Damian Williams. I mean, the last 2 weeks, he's really come into his own. He's not Kareem Hunt.
Right.
I mean, Kareem Hunt fumbled one time. That was it in his NFL career. His first carry ever was a fumble. So that we lose that durability, maybe that, you know, make sure being safe with the football. So I'm a little worried about a fumble from Damian Williams, but he has replaced Kareem Hunt. I think so.
All right, Gary, let me ask
you. No, because what Kareem Hunt gave you is the ability to run a spread offense, all these type of misdirections, but he also gave you the old-fashioned downhill, hit you in the kisser, and let's see if you can do it for four quarters. And that's the blend between power and speed. And I think we're jumping past Kareem Hunt too much. He was a guy that brought an attitude in. Every team's got a player like that. There's somebody they can hand the ball to when they need a jump start. Kareem Hunt was that guy. Not that Damian Williams hasn't gotten better, but Kareem Hunt was a special player for this team, and I have to agree with Nick on this. The team has been searching for the last month, trying to find that one guy, and I don't know if they have yet.
All right, Gary, let me ask you, though, who's the one player on offense, one player on defense you think has the most pressure in this game?
The most pressure is on Patrick Mahomes, and he's shown that it's not going to matter. So even though that is the most pressure, it is on him to perform. Because if he is good, he's going to get everyone to be at another level. However, when it comes to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, you know, they run the routes. They can't drop the ball. We can't have drops. We can't have tip passes. We have to leave those guys. The pressure is probably on the receivers just as much.
All right, Baldy. Other than Patrick Mahomes, who do you see as having the pressure on both sides of the ball in this one?
Oh, we got to go right into this, you know, into the secondary and the young kid Ward out there at the left cornerback position. You don't think that Bill Belichick hasn't designed 1,000 plays to go at him right now?
Oh, boy.
This kid stands a better chance of swimming with the great white sharks. In fact, they found a plus 20-footer swimming off the Hawaiian Islands. This kid might be safer with that guy than what Bill Belichick's going to throw at him. So the secondary, they're going to rally together. They understand that. It's going to be get up in the grill of these receivers. and you've got to show that you can compete with them, because it's going to be a physical game, but yep, they're going to have to be able to play man coverage in this game and be successful.
Nick, who you got?
Sammy Watkins. He's going to be the one that they're going to double Kelsey. They're going to double Hill. And at times he's going to have to step up. Conley, Robinson, Damien Williams, all of them. Anybody who's not named Mahomes, Kelsey, or Hill, you're going to need to step up in this game to be able to send your team to the Super Bowl and reach that dream that every single 53 guys on that roster has.
Wow.
See, and I look at the defensive line. I think Chris Jones, you know, he had that amazing run of sacks, but he's a guy that tends to get pushed back in the double. Derek Nnadi's a guy who, he's a rookie. He's flashed pretty well at times, but I still think they need somebody to kind of take charge there in the middle. And then you look at Justin Houston. He's got the big contract, for better or worse. He's got the big contract. He's still the leader. And Dee Ford playing for a big contract. If those guys don't play well, I don't think the Chiefs are going to have much of a chance in this one. Let's hear real quick from Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy and what they think about this matchup.
Well, you tell your guys to focus on being the best that they can be, understanding that this potentially could happen. Do not get frustrated. Understanding, you got to see the big picture. There's a whole team involved. So if they want to take you away, that's okay. Make sure you play with great attention to details. If they focus on you, that's a great thing. That just means somebody else will have less attention paid to them, and that player needs to step up and be great when that moment is called upon.
You always have to prepare for each and every scenario, but I feel like with this offense, you've seen it all year, someone new can step up every single week. We have a lot of options. We have a lot of guys that can go out there and make plays, and they have been all season long, so whoever's open, I'll throw the ball to them, no matter who it is, and hopefully that's the formula to have success and hopefully get a win.
All right, so that was offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes. Sounds like Patrick's going to take a page out of old Tommy Football's playbook, and if he needs to check it down like he did against the Chargers, Mahomes is ready to do that. All right, here we go. Gary, predictions are your thing, so we'll start with you.
Well, I think that weather is a factor, so we'll add in the weather. It's going to be cold. It favors the young quarterback. And it's at Arrowhead Stadium. My goodness. So you got to go with the Chiefs 38-24. They would dominate this game, and the defense is going to be on again this week. I think we're going to all be shocked. Last week we were shocked, so let's hope we're shocked again on how well the defense plays. I'm going with 38-24. Energy, the crowd's going to be loud, and the weather, it'll be cold, but it will be dry.
All right, Baldy, this is Nick's favorite part of the show, by the way. So I'm going to put you on the spot here. What's your prediction for this weekend?
Chiefs win this one. I'm going to get that score 28-17. What makes me feel positive about the Chiefs this week, and I'll be honest, last week I did not think they'd be able to climb out of that hole, but what Bob Sutton did in the third quarter last week, blitzes, Casey wide look between Justin Houston and Dee Ford, be able to create pressure, sack strip. I think this is where we're going to win the game, because Bob Sutton's going to draw up some things we've never seen, and we're going to be able to control this offense of the New England Patriots. Chiefs come out on top. They're heading to Atlanta for the Super Bowl.
It would be quite interesting after this week with all the talk, Patrick Mahomes going against Bill Belichick, if it was Bob Sutton's unscouted looks that made the difference. So, all right, Nick, here we go. Your prediction.
I have to stay with the tradition. For people that don't know, I'm going to be wearing the same hat and shirt from last Saturday when they won their first home playoff game. I'm going to be eating my Panda Express before
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
that gotcha. I have to check. Do. It's the routine when something this big happens. So I have to complete the process here, and I have to say I'm going to pick against them again, because that's what's worked the past last week.
Yep.
So I'm gonna stick with it again. I'm gonna go Patriots 30, Chiefs 27. That's what I'm gonna do. I hope I'm terribly wrong, because just like a lot of fans out there, I want to see that t-shirt and hat that says AFC champions.
All right, I got to be honest. Bets between churches in Kansas City and Boston, all that's all the rage this week. Donut shops, whatever it might be. I'm going to challenge you. If you're wrong, if the Chiefs win,
answer's already no. Whatever.
you need to change your Twitter handle to Wet Blanket for the next week. Okay.
That's still
because you're a wet blanket, Nick. Come
still
on. All right. Hey. Fine. I'll follow your lead. Last week, I predicted the Chiefs would beat the Colts 38-28. That's pretty much spot on, right? We're going to go ahead and stick with that prediction. Chiefs 38, Patriots 28. I just think the Chiefs, I think the home field advantage, that Arrowhead crowd, there's so much energy, so much emotion. I think that the Chiefs are going to find a way to harness it in a good way, even though they haven't been in this moment before. And I think that they're going to find a way to get it done. I really do.
Hey, I hope you're right. I hope everybody's prediction's right, and mine's terribly wrong.
All right. Well, that's Wet Blanket Nick Jacobs. Want to say thanks to Baldy. Really appreciate you coming on, man. Love the analysis. Appreciate all you do. And where do you get to go to the owner's suite, or how are you rolling for the game on Sunday?
For me, it's going to be at the studio watching this game. I'm sorry. I will not be controllable in a social environment on Sunday for this game. You wouldn't want to keep me in a cage, folks. Yeah. I'm having issues already right now. So I look for a great afternoon. But you know what? Who cares about how cold it is? Last week I saw the gloomy and the gray and the cloudy. That's an offensive lineman. A dream come true. So I look for a great afternoon. The weather, but you know what? He said it the best. Arrowhead madness. The New England Patriots have never seen anything like they're going to see Sunday afternoon at Arrowhead. I'm not sure they're really going to want to show up to that.
And, yeah, and I'm hoping your boy Dustin Colquitt gets to hand that Lamar Hunt trophy to Clark Hunt.
It would be fitting. I mean, he is the longest tenured chief, after all.
That would be. That would be. Dustin's been through a lot of bad years here.
So, all right. Well, guys, I'll let you know how many beer cans Nick Jacobs smashed against his head on Sunday.
I will not. I'll be working. I am a professional. That will not be happening.
All right. All right. Well, hey, guys, that's it for 4th and 1. We thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week for better or worse.
Say goodbye, Todd.
Goodbye, Todd.